Today's episode was recorded during our Voice of Influence Summit 2022, where women learned how to step into their sphere of influence and speak with authority, anointing, and authenticity. I can't wait for you to hear what our guest speaker has to share. Let's tune in.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the next session. We have another wonderful Kingdom Woman speaker that you are going to be blessed to hear her story and to learn from. I know Rachel Riva. Hi, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Lisa.
You are so welcome. Life on Her Terms Media. I love that. I love that.
Thank you very much. It's what we're all after, right?
Well, yes, I can't wait to hear about how all that came about. But just for those who are listening, don't know Rachel. Rachel is in Australia, but you're not native born to Australia because you don't sound like an Australian.
I can't hide it. I can't hide where I'm from. I'm definitely American, Georgia born and bred, actually. So I was born in the South, in the deep South, small town, humble pie beginnings. But I was adopted by Australia as a teenager. So my mother, my father died when I was 12 years old. And my mother met a man on the internet in like 1999, and which was crazy back then, completely unheard of. There were no dating sites. Yes. There was nothing like that. And he lived in a place called Australia. And it was one of those times where God's provision meets a moment in your life where you go, I wasn't sure what was going to happen, after you have such a tragic loss. But he met my mother, he met us, he took on a widow with three daughters and moved these Georgia girls to a place called Newcastle, Australia. So I always say I'm American, American born and bred, but Australia adopted us. So since then, I did a lot of schooling in Australia, did my college university here, started my TV career there as well, and then moved on to London, worked for the BBC. So I did a lot of publicity, news communications, government communications, that type of thing. So, but wow. You never lose the accent. It just sticks with you.
That's a whole other conversation.
It is.
That is so neat. Thank you for sharing that. That is quite interesting based on our little preview conversation here beforehand.
Oh, look, God always, I think God is a ironic in his humor, but also a wonderful redeemer. Your story's never over, right? So that is a whole nother story we could get into. But even when we think something's happened and oh my gosh, this is the end. This has happened. Yes. Tragedy, loss, job loss. We've had it all in a sense, I'm 36 now. Yes. But I can look back now and go, no, God's footprints were there the whole time. They really were. And they never leave us. And I think it's so interesting where I'm at now, and I'm a parent myself, and I've lived in three different countries, and seeing how God is using everything I've been through, and how I know he's using and will use everything your audience and your listeners have been through. It doesn't matter where you're at now. And I think that kind of comes into my message of everything you're going through now. They say your mess becomes your message. Well, we got to be willing to share that message. You got to be willing to step out at some point. And it doesn't matter where you're at now. I don't care if you're a mother with kids running around and you think, yeah, but I'm exhausted. Can I just say that? Can we just all raise our hands and say we're tired? I'm tired. Okay. Please do not let parenthood or your current struggles think that that will dismiss you from the calling, the mission God has called you to. So, I mean, you can ask questions. As you can know, I can keep going. I'm a little bunny when you ask the right questions. So
That's so good. I love it. I love, so on your website, Life on Her Terms, you say for Christian women in business who are ready to share their God-given genius with the world. So tell me a little bit about how you came to do what you're doing today.
Certainly. Absolutely. So I have a background in communications. I started doing news publicity, which is basically working for news organizations like the ABC in Sydney. Then I moved to the BBC in London. And so I was kind of the girl in the background, setting up interviews, dealing with a lot of crises. I'm dealing with really high profile journalists, executives. Mm. So I was in the room with a lot of decision makers and really got to see stories being created. And I've always had a passion for storytelling. And so, seeing, I believe news is really important. I believe in the power of the media, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, the media is a powerful tool. It's the fourth mm-hmm. estate. So in terms of how did I get there, I was climbing the ladder. And I actually, when I was 30 years old, I had a little 30-year-old crisis. And I decided to move from Sydney, where I had a very successful job working in news and TV and all these things. And I decided to move to London. And I just felt like, you know what, I want to do something different. Most people were settling down and getting married and babies. And, you know, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, we were like, I'm not ready for that yet. And so I moved to London, and I got my dream job. And my dream job was working at this amazing, it was the BBC, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. But my first day I realized, oh my goodness, this may have been my dream job, but I don't think this is what I want to do anymore. Mm-hmm. It was when you get all the things, you check all the boxes, yeah. and you realize maybe it's not as fulfilling as I thought it would be. What now? I moved countries for this, wow. God. Like he blessed me and he gave me so much favor. It wasn't like an easy thing to get the gig. So mm-hmm. when you walk out of the thing that you thought would fulfill this, after this, I'll be good. After this, I'll have succeeded. I will have achieved. I will, you know, it will feel good. And I walked out and go, oh my goodness, what have I been chasing this whole time? I've got it. And I don't feel any different. What's my problem? What's wrong with me? So, you know, grabbed a burrito and some chocolate and went home and cried and was like, what do I do now? And so that kind of put me on this path of the first thing I did was I cried and I prayed like, God, what am I doing here? If this isn't what I'm meant to be doing. I gave up all this. I started over and it's clear this career isn't what I'm meant to be doing anymore. And it put me on this path of, you call it self-development. The idea of a business had never resonated with me. I didn't like the idea of the uncertainty of it. Scared me to death. But it started becoming really clear. And I say to anyone, you're not sure what you want to do. Like, I don't know. Well, start researching it. Give yourself time. Don't go out with friends. Stay inside. Pray, Google, research, meditate, read the books. Do whatever it is you have to do to get that clarity, because it's there for you. You just haven't tuned into it. So that's what I did. I did a lot of soul searching while working full time. The idea of entrepreneurship came up. And then I started career coaching just on the side, which turned into a bit of copywriting, PR coaching, which morphed into the God-given genius song that I have, which is encouraging women, storytelling, and helping women become their own publicists. So I get to use the skills I have learned in the media and go, I know how to get a media story. I know how to encourage people. That's kind of just what I do naturally. And it's what I found was encouraging women to get visible is a really, it's something that a lot of women, particularly Christian women, really struggle with. So that's my genius zone now. It's, you know, I teach skills because I believe learning to become your own publicist is the most important thing you need to do when you start your own business. They say, if you don't learn marketing, your business will not succeed. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is thinking that they can hire out the marketing. And I really think you need to learn to become your own marketer. Don't expect someone else to ever publicize your business the best way you know, better than you. That's just not going to happen. So that's what I really, truly believe. And also it's free. You know, I'm not telling anyone to pay for Google ads or pay for Facebook ads, because I believe there's a smarter way to do it.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. That really is counter a lot of the messaging out there. So I love that, because you're really empowering, because they say that, you know, people, when they, whether in business or ministry, whatever it is, people who want to go further with you, go deeper, it's because of you more than anything. Yeah. Yes, you have something you offer, and that's kind of part and parcel, but it's you. And so who better to market yourself than you?
No, it's true. And I think I'm so glad you said that, because people get so obsessed with the program and their offer. And like, you need to know what that is. You need to have that. You need to have clarity on that. It's hugely important, but you need to be so in love with it and so willing to get visible and uncomfortable. The first interview I did, they had to press stop and start over because my voice was shaking so much. And this was me who has experience in publicity. It was the hardest thing for me to get visible. You wouldn't think it, but because I was always behind the scenes girl, you weren't doing your job if you were the one being interviewed. So, you know, I had to unlearn. And I think a lot of what we do, we go, you have to become the person. I think we have to unbecome. Yeah. I think there's a lot of unbecoming and stripping down of, it's okay to get visible. It's safe to get visible. And it's, you know, and I think the media, if you really want to hear my heart behind this, imagine, ladies, if the media airwaves were full of Christian women entrepreneurs. Can you just imagine, A, the different policies that would be created? Can you imagine the different conversations we'd be having? Can you imagine the content that would be out there and how much you would encourage and inspire others? We are not to be hidden. You know, in Sunday school, we used to sing "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." I had to start singing it again. Yes. I had to start singing it to myself again and go back to those principles. And I was like, yeah, we have been taught something so messed up as women. And I, you know, if you look at who Jesus really hung out with, women supported his ministry. They did. Esther, one voice changed an entire nation. One decision, one conversation. What if she didn't want to get visible? You know, and sometimes I will say this, people don't think about this before you even get visible to the media. One of the hardest places to get visible is with your own friends and family. Mm-hmm. So many women I speak to, oh, I just do this thing on the side. The word side hustle was in the Bible, ladies. I looked it up. It's not. And I'm not again. I started as a side hustle, but I never referred to it as that. Mm-hmm. Because in your head, you're giving yourself permission to stay invisible when you do. That's so, you know, so I really just, I don't believe that God calls anyone to have anything small. I don't think he calls you to have a family that's just there. You know, he wants you to flourish. He wants you to thrive. And he wants that in every part of your life, especially your business. It is about legacy. It's about building his kingdom, but it's kingdom on earth here, ladies. He wants you to have more of everything, but we can only do that if you're willing to plant visibility seeds. And I obviously believe the media is a powerful way to do that.
That is so great. I love that. I can see that you're very passionate about this subject.
Keep go, 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 go.
You know, I love that you shared that story about how you were shaking. Your voice was shaking when you were doing that, because people need to understand that even though you might have been in a certain arena, that when you shift now into a different arena, sometimes it's like, oh, it was scary because we may have felt confident here, but now we're in a whole, we step out of our comfort zone into another, whether it be in front of a different audience or a different platform, that can create some of that nervousness or scariness, whatever. And that's okay. That's all a part of it, right? We're broadening the tent pegs, so to speak. And
yes. Yes. I had a mentor say to me, it's always awkward before it's elegant.
I love that.
Yeah. You have to be okay with being a nervous wreck. You have to be okay with feeling sick. I mean, one of mine is, I still feel much better right now. I used to feel physically sick before interviews. I used to feel physically unwell. It was, you know, my body would have a natural reaction to this. And, you know, the fear that comes in, I think one of the biggest things, or it was for me, I would go to town on, if it was for someone else, a client or a company, I would do anything. I would make 100 calls. I would get up in the morning. I would, and then when it came to me, I wasn't willing to do as much for myself. Why? I wonder why that is. Well, because, can I really believe in myself that much? I don't really want to sell me. Well, let me tell you something. If your program or whatever it is you're selling, your program that you're offering, if you have a solution, which most people do, say you have a solution, you have got to be so in love with the solution that it gives that you feel bad if people don't get it. And I mean, and that's kind of how I was. That's how passionate I would be about the programs I worked for and the clients I worked with. Like, you don't understand this person, this program, you need to feature this. You've got to have that much enthusiasm for yourself. Beyonce has that quote of, if there's anything I'm willing to bet on, it's myself. And look, you and God, you talk about them being co-creators.
Yes.
With you and God, you can't fail with him. That doesn't mean you won't misstep. That doesn't mean a program won't work. I've had plenty of things I've launched that I'm like, well, that was crickets. What was the point? And you spiral, you know, you go, why am I doing this? Like, I do it too, guys. It's okay. It's, you know, it's not a career trajectory like this. We are an unusual breed, highly unusual. And that's okay. You know, I once heard a quote, they said that they don't make statues of critics, only the crazy people. And it's that's true. Like, it's so easy to criticize, you know, it's so easy to criticize when you're not the one in the arena. So I really just want to encourage women that it is a long game. And I don't even think it's a marathon. It's like a series of sprints where you're getting punched in the face sometimes. It sort of feels like. And so I talk about in the media world, I talk about your visibility seeds. You've got to plant your visibility seeds because as we know, in the Bible, it talks so much about agriculture, which is wealth, right? But you know, you've got to plant the seeds and there will be a harvest if it's a good seed. And what is a good seed? So, you know, I'm not going to guarantee you, if you get an interview today, are you going to get a client tomorrow? No, but you know what that is? That's a funnel that you didn't have to pay for. That's on the internet 24/7. And by the way, you know, most people would kind of know this, but as soon as you see a media logo on someone's website, completely increases the know, like, and trust factor because you've got external validation. So it's, and you know what happens? This is to me the best part of media. Let me just say this. The first time I was featured in a media outlet, I was still working full time. I didn't even have an idea of a business. I just had this thing in me that I wanted to write. And I pitched something to the Huffington Post. And at the time, Ariana Huffington was still working there. She was still the editor. I received a response from Ariana herself within 24 hours. And I was sitting there working full time. I know, right? It was like game changing to me. Do you know what happened? I got so confident. It completely, and all of a sudden my mind was open to these possibilities. Maybe I could do a business thing. Maybe I could do this thing. I didn't know what to do. I knew I wanted to do something. It gave the confidence that it gives you when you're willing to get visible and actually pitch yourself somewhere. Oh my goodness. It flows onto everything that you do. And yes, it elevates your brand, boosts your credibility. Yeah. You know, it gives you first confidence, then credibility. And then yes, clients do come. Clients do come because it's another funnel for your business.
Yeah, that is so good. So let me just hone in right here on, because I know that this is a big block for Kingdom Women, entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, whoever you are, even in ministry, Kingdom Women, is when you talk about, we know we have to become visible. But there's this block. Well, I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to be boasting. I don't want to, you know, all of these things that we somehow see are in conflict with our faith, that we see them as contradictory to our faith. I want you to speak to that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I struggled with it too. And you know, every time you're about to go to a different level, you're going to have that come up again, by the way. Like, you're never going to completely get rid of it. Let me just put it out there. Mm. How did I get past that? My visibility blockers. I call it my strategy that I call is 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes of belief. So in 5 minutes, I believe you can change your life, right? Do I believe that God wants me to succeed in my business? Yes. Do I believe that 24 hours of the day? No. I go up, I go down, I go maybe. I can't say I have 24 hours of consistent faith. That would be a lie. Yep. Okay. But I can believe it for 5 minutes. Okay. If you can believe for 5 minutes that the God of the universe who created you and called you to this business has nothing but awesomeness available for you, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Do that. If you can believe it for 5 minutes, take action from that place. Just 5 minutes. And do one thing, send that email, go live. Do you really believe that? Because you know what happens? Faith attracts faith. Faith increases faith. All of that kind of stuff. It's like exercising. Can you run for 5 minutes? I'm not going to ask you to run a marathon. Can you just do it for 5 minutes? Great. Now go a little bit further. That's how I did it. Okay. I got rid of fear by having faith for 5 minutes, not just in me, but in my God.
That's good.
Can you show up for 5 minutes believing that he's got your back? Because if you can, you will do incredible things. Because this is what I see women do. Rachel says, I have to show up. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to do this live. And I'm going to share with you my 5 strategies. And then I'm going to be done. You know what you're doing? You are showing up in the most disempowered version of yourself. Because someone has told you, you have to do something. Completely mm-hmm. different energy and state. People are attracted to your energy, no matter what that is, right? If you don't like the clients you're working with, look yourself in the mirror. What energy are you showing up with, lady? I'm just going to ask that question because that's what they are attracting. Okay. So 5 minutes of it. So that's literally, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you goodness and to, you know, give you hope and joy and all the great things. Like, I've got good plans for you. So if you can believe that for 5 minutes, you can change your business and show up in that state and then take the action and then pitch yourself. That's Rachel's secret. Okay. I'm not a therapist. I don't know. I'm sure you've got lots of stuff in your past that has held you back. I don't really care about your past. And I mean that in a loving way. I care about where God has called you to get out of your story. Yeah. And get into the lane that God has called you to and stay focused on your creator. And if you can just for 5 minutes go, I'm going to believe for the next 5 minutes that even if I pitch this and it's rejected, that it's something good has been planted here because they might come back to me for another story or it's created a connection that I can use for something else. I literally yesterday I had breakfast with a news producer who called me for an interview the other day, and I turned down the interview. I said, this is not something I should be talking about, but we decided to meet for coffee instead. So while I didn't get a media spot, I decided that wasn't for me. I've gotten a connection, and these are the things that happen. You never know what that one rejection is taking you to. And may I also just say, look, business is hard. It is hard. It is not easy. You've got, you know, incredible peaks, incredible valleys, all of it. But sometimes it just hinges on you being able to show up one more time. Just show up one more time. Yeah. And it's about the ability to show up and just not quit for one more day sometimes. But it's also about just believing yourself for 5 minutes, believing your creator. You know, even if you can't believe in yourself or whatever, because you feel like, oh, I shouldn't do this. And let me just say, I'm a mother. I have a 3.5-year-old. There's a lot of things that could easily hold me back. I'm tired. My body isn't where I want it to be. I don't have as much time as I would like to. These are all excuses that could easily hold me back. But mm-hmm. I actually believe that one of the worst things we could do as mothers, if I can just speak to you for a moment, is for your children not to see you going for what God has called you to do. If you are not pursuing your dreams, you're doing your children a disservice. I don't know what point we said that we had to become so obsessive. And I love being a mother. It is a great joy. But even you want to know why? I don't even forget about the kingdom for a second. You show up differently when you're not pursuing the thing God called you to do.
Yeah.
You show up as your best self, you know? So it's like, give the gift to your children of someone who's on fire for God and what he's called you to. Give them that gift. It reflects everything.
It's so good. It just reminds me of this concept that I've learned over the years. I've heard people say this too, is like action creates clarity. Like when we're in motion, whatever that means. And even that story you just told earlier about going to that dream job in England, in the UK, is that if you had not gone there and figured out that, okay, this is not all that I thought it would be, you would still probably be wondering, and it would probably be having this drain on your brain in some way. It's like, oh, gosh, I wish. But the fact that you took action gave you greater clarity. Okay, this is not actually what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
It's completely. And I'm so grateful for it. And I love the BBC, by the way. It was an amazing place to work. I learned what I needed to do. And I think I think it was John Bevere who said, first, you're given the promise, then you have to go through the process, and then you get the promotion. And we're in such a microwave generation. And I can attest to that, because you look at the testimonials and go, within 2 weeks or within 2 months, I created this and that. Look, the truth is, we do not serve a microwave God. And he is calling you to create something that has impact and legacy. And that does not happen overnight. I've been in this game long enough to see, I've seen the behind the scenes. It ain't all what it looks like. Okay. It does require hard working. More than anything, guys, it requires consistency. And I think for women, consistency looks different. So give yourself permission not to do business the way men do. We have feminine principles that we lead by, that we're governed by. And I actually think your intuition is the most powerful business tool you have. You know, your business journey is not meant to look like anybody else's. I do believe it's important to have like-minded women and people around you. But, you know, I've had times in business where God has said, I'm just going to mentor you right now. I don't want anyone else influencing you. And he calls me to the cave more than he calls me to the crowd. He really does. That's probably something I didn't expect. I thought it'd be like high five and lots of people like, woo, woo. You know, I have a beautiful mastermind, which is this really intimate group of women. And, you know, we get to share life together as well as business. But I think that's what surprised me, because business will get you on your knees more than anything else in your life. So because you're like, God, but yeah, it's a spiritual game. Business is absolutely a spiritual game.
Yes. You know, one of my favorite passages is in Psalm 68, verse 11. And it's talking about how the Lord sends the gospel. And then it says in the Passion Translation, it says, the warring women of Zion deliver the message. And then it goes on to talk about those who are oppressing become oppressed, and that the women collect the spoils.
That's a good one. Oh, I felt chills. Holy chills. I love it. Yes.
But the whole aspect and just tapping into what you just said there is like, you know, it's like the Lord gives the commission. He's commissioned. He sends it. But it's like the warring women of Zion deliver it. They carry it out. They bring it to where it's supposed to go. They do the business with whoever. But there's a war sometimes to do that, whether it be in our own self or to get through the resistance, to get it into the right hands. Yeah. But in the end, there's that great reward of knowing that you did what you were sent to do and on the earth. And I hear that is what you're saying. It's like, listen, just get yourself off of yourself. Get your mind off of yourself and onto the Lord and what he's called you to do and the people that he's called you to serve.
Yeah. And I really do believe that God is, you know, he's a redeeming God. We know that. But if you look at the Me Too movement, if you look at what's happening right now, he's giving things back. You know, his women, he's going, it's your time to take center stage. It's your time. I honestly believe that is a word. It is your time right now. And there, you know, in history, I think we're at a really important part. And if you do not, and he's created, you being on the stage does not mean no one else can get on there. I think he's got a stage. He's got a stage big enough for all of us. Exactly. He's the God of abundance. You getting your success does not mean that someone else doesn't, you know, he's got a space that's perfect just for Lisa, just for Rachel, just for anybody else. And I do believe though, there is, I call it a divine media opportunity. I believe that he has divine media opportunities for every woman here. And you said it yourself. You do have to war sometimes. Resistance can just be daily stuff, guys. It can be big mindset blocks. If I was a kid, I was told I should never talk. I was told I was anointed to be quiet a lot. Be quiet, Rachel. I had to unlearn that because it wasn't safe always to be quiet. Or I was, you know, that kind of thing. And even those type of inner child things come out for you a bit. And now I'm like, well, I get paid to talk now. So who's that? You know, exactly. Joke's on you, right? But I do think now we have to be willing to be uncomfortable and take center stage in whatever way that means. And it does mean there is convenience. It's going to cost you an inconvenience in your daily life even. But we have to be willing to even say to our husbands, our families, or, you know, look, this is important. I'm going to be doing this now and I'm going to be here for you, but this is something I feel really called to do. And I really think those conversations in our life and the people who love us are really important because you can't, sometimes I think we're trying to like serve everybody and just do this thing on the side. And it's like, just be open about what's important to you right now. And I promise you won't be so much at war with yourself and you can be at war with the things that you need to be and, you know, deliver the message, whether that's via Facebook Live or via media interviews or writing a post or whatever it is.
Yes, that is so good. Wow. This has been such a great experience and just learning and gleaning from you. And I just, you know, just feeling your passion for the things that God has called you to do. And I just am so blessed to hear your story. And I know the women listening, they're also blessed and inspired. And if you take away anything, it's that God has given you a mission. He's giving you something to deliver. It's giving you a gift and it may not be like anyone else's gift, but it might be something that maybe you don't even realize because you do it so well. You don't even realize that it is something you're meant to pass on because you've just done it all your life or it just comes easy to you, whatever it might be. Don't underestimate the power of what God wants to do through you as you just step into that place and just follow those desires of your heart. Like Rachel was talking about, sometimes you just have these desires. You're like, oh, I don't know if that's God. Just follow it and find out.
Yeah. You're so right. You've got to take the action, and God honors action takers. He doesn't honor people who just sit and meditate and pray. You know, they say prayer without action. What is it? Honestly, you know, they say faith without works. I say faith without hustle. You got to be willing to hustle a little bit. There are seasons of hustle. I believe in the joyful hustle. But you know, I wrote a book about it called Grit, Grace, and Hustle, but you've got to have the grit to stay in it. You've got to be open to God's grace and you've got to be willing to hustle for a season or two. And then there will be rest and then you start all over again. But he will honor everything that you give him, even if you don't see the fruits of it today. A lot of the things that you're doing today, you will see the results of 6 to 12 months from now. And I say that to people, well, what were you doing 6 months ago? What were you doing 12 months ago? If you don't like what you're seeing in business, or, you know, if you're not seeing anything, the visibility seeds you plant now, there is always a harvest. And one of my first speaking engagements came from, I got a phone call and I mean, who uses the phone now? I was like, how did you get my number? And they just said, I heard you're an amazing coach. And I was like, who? And I just said, yes, I am. Like, you know, what are you going to say? But he was like, yeah, we, you know, one of our people at our church saw something that you did. And I thought, And I have a radio segment that I pitch. I will say this one thing, if I may.
Yes.
When I was, especially to new moms, I have a 3.5-year-old now, but when I was, when my son was about 4 or 5 months old, I had a really challenging pregnancy, birth, C-section, all that kind of stuff. And my business had just started taking off when I got pregnant with him. And let's just say, I felt like I had to completely pause the business to step into motherhood, which is such a blessing, right? But at that time, I didn't feel like such a blessing. At that time, I felt like I was struggling. I was lost. I felt like I'd given this thing up. I'd put all this money and time and investment. And I literally sat, I remember it was 2 a.m. and I cried out to God and I said, what do you want from me now? What am I meant to do? I know you didn't call me just to start this and give it away because I became a mother. And he said, pitch a radio program. And he told me where to do it. And I was like, me? I was breastfeeding. Like, I was a mess. I'm like, me? Are you kidding? He goes, yeah, pitch it. And it's called Coffee and Faith. And it was 2 a.m. So I didn't do anything. I just wrote some notes and came next day, came back to it. I pitched it. It was a yes. He was 4 months old, guys. Wow. 4 months old. I went into a radio station and said, I have something I think you'd be interested in. I didn't get paid for it, but do you know how many opportunities have come from that? That was like 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
You know, take it to him. He will tell you what is next. There is a way for you to get visible that will work for where you're at now.
That is so good. Well, how can people stay in touch with you if they want to know more about how to live, how to do it on what
your life on her terms.
Life on her terms.
Life on your terms was taken. So I did life on her terms. Yeah, absolutely. It's life on her terms, you know, designed by God. But yeah, lifeonherterms.com. You can follow me at Instagram, life on her terms. And I do have a free gift for you, which is 100 media outlets that are free, looking to feature coaches, consultants, business owners like you. Just go to lifeonherterms.net. But yeah, everything life on her terms. You can follow me, some of my journeys, some of my rants, and, you know, my little passions here, but I'm really just there to encourage Christian women to get visible and use everything God's given you, because there is a place for you.
Awesome. And for those of you who are in the All Access Pass members area, you can tap into some more training that, that our wonderful Rachel has in the whole area of visibility, that you're definitely going to want to learn about how to become visible and give the value that God has created you to do in a way that is aligned with who you are and without compromising your values as well. So thank you so much, Rachel.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for tuning in today, and be sure to check out the show notes and any pertinent links mentioned in this episode. Make sure and share this with a friend, a like-minded Kingdom woman who wants to learn how to become a positive and powerful voice of influence and learn how to speak with confidence, clarity, and transformational impact. And remember, your voice is a vehicle of transformation and needs to be heard.